impute our sins, our transgressions of the law unto us. He does punish us for unconfessed sins during this present life, but he does not condemn us to hell for them. The transplanted seed of God remains, continues to abide in the believer, and is the only righteousness he or she has before God. I thank God it's that way, because if I had to do something to obtain my salvation or to keep it, I couldn't sleep at night. And God will not impute sins to any born-again person and place them back under his condemnation for sins. The transplanted seed eternally passes them from spiritual death to everlasting life. He took away my sins, past, present, and future, then hid me in him from the condemnation for those sins. I am hidden from the condemnation of God in Christ. I am eternally set free from the condemnation of God in my eternal Savior, Christ Jesus. That's one of the most important principles in the Bible. It's one of the most misunderstood, one of the most misdirected, and causes the most confusion in our ranks today of Christians, called Christians or believers. I went on and I did the second page, and so I'm just going to put it up here. I'm not going to preach from it. I finished the second page, went all the way down through Galatians 3, 1 through 13 to make my case to prove that what I was telling you was the truth, whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then finally I got right down to here, and I put a red mark there, and I said, I don't know, I may continue this next Sunday. And I didn't know what to do, and I made up another message for this morning, but somehow last night the Lord just laid it on my heart to finish this thing, so I made another sheet to start with, so we won't start out at ground zero. This is a very important principle in your life. If you know Christ as your Savior, you really need to understand this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to get saved so you can understand this, because it's among the greatest things that you'll ever know in your life as a child of God, and it's just absolutely amazing. It's called grace, unmerited favor. It's something that most of the people in the world don't understand. So I made this up. Came to me about 2 o'clock this morning, and Leonard was already up working on that devotional, and so I waited until this morning and got up and ran off this cover sheet so I could work into where I left off without any violent non-transition. Does a corrupted or incorrupt seed indwell you? In Luke 8, 11 through 12, Jesus said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, when you believe, it means you put your faith in Christ. It means you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he did enough to complete your salvation, that he kept the law for you, that he loved you, and literally gave himself for you, because you could not save yourself. You could not help yourself, because you're born depraved and a sinner with the Adamic nation, with the Adamic nature itself. So at some point in life, you may have heard the word. If you've been coming here, I guarantee you, I preach it. And somehow you realized, I need a Savior. And you realized, I can't go to heaven unless Jesus gets me there. And you believed he was alive. And at some point in your life, you ask him to save you. You received the word. You received it before the devil had a chance to yank it out of your heart. And you found him as Savior. Now, in John 1, 11 through 13, it talks about Jesus. He said he came into his own, and his own received him not. He came to the nation of Israel. They were his people. But they wouldn't receive him. They wouldn't believe that he was the sacrificial lamb of God. They wouldn't believe that this man was the one who had come to save them from what they were. But then he goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Long time ago, my mother and father came together. And they willed to come together. And they had sex. And I was conceived in their womb, in mom's womb. And eventually I grew into an embryo. And eventually what you see here came out. And I was born of flesh and blood by the will of man. I was given a soul by God. And my flesh is condemned. It's going to perish. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But my soul, which came from God, was given a choice. And when I was 12 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to save me, believing that He and He alone could. And I was not born that time by the will of my mother and father. I was born by the will of God. Now here's the most remarkable thing about grace. The seed is born in you forever. That time in my life, when I finally came to Jesus, realizing I was condemned, realizing unless God interceded, unless Christ did something, I would eternally live in hell. And so I trusted Him. I trusted Him just enough to believe He was alive, and if I would go to Him, He would do what He promised. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I got saved that night by that small a mustard seed of faith. John 12, 20 through 24. Now throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, He kept going to His own people, and they kept rejecting Him. In John 12, we're getting toward the end of His ministry, and He knows that He's about to be offered up. And in John 12, 20 through 24, we find for the first time non-Jews. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now notice Jesus' reaction when Philip came to him. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour's come." He said, "All right, it's time now." These Greeks were the benchmark. His own people had rejected Him. They had not received Him. And now God's Spirit was sending to him non-Jews. And Jesus knew it was time. He knew He was going to be arrested and crucified. He said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." He knew this was the marker. Then He said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die," it means a kernel of corn fall into the ground and die. They didn't have corn back then. It means a grain of wheat, actually. This makes it look like a kernel of corn or a corn of wheat, and it's difficult to understand. But what this literally means is a little grain of wheat. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The death of Christ on the cross made it possible for God to be just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus. And He suffered, and He bled, and He died, and He was resurrected from the dead, and He heard my prayer. And He answered my prayer, and He fulfilled His promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I had no other hope. I had tried desperately to please God and could not. And finally I called upon Jesus, asked Him to save me, and He saved me. This is what happened to me. I didn't understand all this the night it happened. You really don't understand a whole lot about salvation until after you come to the Lord. Then for the first time you begin to understand the principles behind it. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, born from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. I love my mom, I love my dad, but they were both corrupt, and I was born a corrupted seed. But the night I was born again, some 61 years ago, I was born by an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Virgil, I'm not worried about you losing your salvation. You know why? You couldn't if you wanted to, because that seed came to live in you. That's why you're here this morning. That's why you've got comfort about where Billy is. That's the way it is. It doesn't ever come out of you. This is a living seed you received. When you got born again, you were born by the Word of God. And here's the good news. It ain't ever going to hop out of you. Kevin, it's in you. And that's why you're here this morning. That's why all of you are here this morning, because he's in you, and he won't hop out, and he won't leave you, and he won't ever forsake you. As a young minister, I used to try and do everything I could to keep people coming to church. I used every baling wire trick I knew. But I finally figured something out. Once you get Jesus living inside you, you can't get him out. You can try, but he won't leave because he loves you. You may not love him, but he loves you. And so I just have learned to leave you with the one I should have left you with all along, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I'm here this morning. It's the only reason I'm here. I received this seed 61 years ago. That seed's been in me ever since. Lord have mercy, sometimes I don't see what kept him from jumping out. I don't see what kept that seed from just running off and abandoning me, as bad as I was. But by the grace of God, he stayed there. That's what grace is. That's what amazing, wonderful grace is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now take a look at this promise. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Teresa, you got seduced. Did you know that? Did you know that you got saved and then they seduced you? They began to teach you that you had to do something to keep it. And it still haunts you, doesn't it? Still haunts you, doesn't it? That's what false teaching does. A lot of believers get seduced. And why? How do they get seduced? And you may be seduced. If you get enough false teaching, you'll get seduced. But don't worry. The seed never has run off and left you. Never has abandoned you. You've just been taught false doctrine, and you've been seduced. How does a person get seduced but saved? But the anointing, you know what the anointing is? They talk about all the time on Trinity Broadcast Network. This special anointing that comes down from heaven. It's just when you got saved. And it's when the seed came to live in you. You know what that word anointing means? It means to rub into. I watch you ladies all the time. And you rub that stuff in. Man, when you rub it in good. You want to get it all the way in, get the full benefit of it, get rid of all those wrinkles, and you want to rub it in, man. You don't want to, and you keep thinking, well, I hope that stays in there all day. I hope that stays in there all day. So you put another dose on. You can see, when I shake your hand, Imogene got me one day. She said, some of those women over there are complaining because when you shake hands with them, they smell like Stenson cologne. I said, when I shake hands with some of them, I come out of there feeling slippery as a snake. they got more grease on than we used to get out of a lard bucket. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye not need not that any man teach you. I don't have to teach you this, do I? You know he's in you, don't you? You know why he's in you? Because when you don't come to church, you feel bad about it. When you're out of his will, you feel bad about it. That's how I know he's in you. I don't have to teach you this. You know that there's somebody inside you that isn't like you. And somebody inside you that really loves God and tries to get you to do right all the time. Who do you think that is? Your flesh? You think it's your saved soul? No. It's that seed. The Word of God, the person of Jesus Christ, and it abides in you forever. Why are you here this morning? You may not be a member of this church, but why are you here? You're here because Jesus led you here. And you're probably here because he's in you. You may have been seduced by false teaching. All I can do is tell you, come out of it. You got your flesh and blood from your mom and dad. But you got your soul from God. And it's the soul that God saves. And later on, it's the body that Jesus changes. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But as the same anointing, the rubbing in, the seed, that's what it is, the seed of God. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie. Now, notice these next verses. And remember, this is God's word. And he means what he says. And even as it hath taught you, what have you learned from that seed that came into you when you got saved? What have you learned from that new spirit that came inside you that's alive? Ye shall abide in him. Doesn't say you might abide in him, you could abide in him, you may abide in him. It says, ye shall abide in him. The moment that you got saved, God put you in Christ. And God put Christ in you. And Christ isn't coming out, and you're sure not going to throw him out, even if you could. Christ in you and you in him forever. That's what grace is. No matter how bad I get, no matter how corrupt I become, he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. There is no comparison to God's love. You can't compare it with anything. But I will at least draw a parallel. But it's a poor comparison. You know, I had a wonderful mother. I could get away with murder. And my mother was carnal, just like me. I could get away with murder. I could do bad things, say bad things, act bad, mistreat her. But I always knew one thing. She never would disown me as a son. She'd always love me. That's true, isn't it? You had a good mother. Oh, you may not like some of the ways, but you knew she wouldn't disown you. If a mother who's carnal will do that, think about God. He's not going to disown you. You say, well, I just got to do something. Well, let me tell you what to do. Just keep on trusting Jesus. And just keep on realizing what a wonderful Savior you have. We had gotten right down to here. Colossians 3, 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's a promise of God. See this little short, fat, dumpy fellow here? I've got a wonderful wife. I commit adultery on her. I mistreat her. I can abuse her. I can do anything I want. And Jesus is not going to come out of me. He's not going to leave me. You may say, well, he should. That's human reasoning, and it's because you don't have grace. But God does. Oh, if I try to do any of that stuff, God's going to punish me in the flesh. It may take my physical life. Probably will. When Christ, who is our life, he's my life. He's in me. He's eternal. Shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I'm going to see Virgil Holman in glory. I'm going to see Billy Holman in glory. I'm going to see Brother Baker in glory. I'm going to see Brother and Sister George in glory. I'm going to see a lot of people in glory. I'm going to see Mom in glory. But why am I going to see them? Because the seed of God came into them and has abided in them and will abide in them forever. 1 John 3 and 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. You say, what do you mean he does not commit sin? He does commit sin in the flesh. And he does commit sin according to the law of Moses. But Christ kept the law of Moses. And God will never put me back under the condemnation that was in the law. Because I've been passed from death unto life. God punishes me for my sins in the flesh. God punishes me. Sometimes my soul follows my flesh and it sins more often than not. But God will never, never impute a sin to me that would put me back under the condemnation of God and condemn me to hell, because when he looks at me, he sees Jesus' Spirit in me and he cannot sin. Because he is born of God. Now, the scripture says, God does not impute commuting sins to me, because his seed, Jesus Christ, remains continually in me. When I was born again, God spiritually put Christ in me, in Christ, and I abide in him forever by the grace and power of God. You say, I wish I could believe that. You can. You can. How? Put your faith in Jesus and understand that when you put your faith in Jesus and believe He's alive and call on Him to save you, here's what God does. 1 Corinthians 1:30, 31. But of Him, that is, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. It's a spiritual workmanship. You can't do good works or be baptized or work real hard and try to be a goody-two-shoes and have to say, well, now I'm going to put myself in Christ Jesus. No, God does it. And when God does it in response to your repentance of your sins and your faith in Christ, here's what happens. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I don't have any righteousness except what Jesus gave me. I don't have any sanctification except what Jesus gave me. It was God that set me apart in Christ. I don't have any redemption. How can I redeem myself from being under sin like a man going into a pawn shop? I can't redeem myself. Jesus redeemed me. Who do I always glory in? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How can you glory in the Lord if you believe you have to help Him either get salvation or keep salvation? How can you glory in the Lord? You say, well, I sure wish I could just... You can trust Jesus. You can't trust anybody else or anything else. But you can trust Jesus. And if you end up in hell, it's simply going to be because you would not trust Jesus. John 10:28-29. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's God's promise. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. By the power of God, His seed remains in me, and I abide in His seed. And He will never again cast me out of Jesus and again consider me a condemned sinner. Those who truly believe they can be cast out of Him as sinners after His seed comes into them, or that He departs from them after He comes to live in them if they sin, have never seen Him as He is, nor have they known Him. When someone comes to this church and they come from a religion, a group that teaches you can lose your salvation, the first thing I want to know about that person as I get to know them, and I confess I'm sneaky about it, I want to find out if they got saved by coming to Jesus and trusting Him, or if they got saved by coming, believing if they would do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Jesus would save them. Those that come believing you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, then Jesus will save you. They don't know Him. But those who are convicted by God's Holy Spirit in false churches, and they respond to the Spirit, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ, they get saved. Then, in those churches, they get seduced into believing that they can lose their salvation. Those who truly believe they can be cast out of Him as sinner after His seed comes into them, that He departs from them after He comes to live in them if they sin, have never seen Him as He is. They've never known Him. They simply do not understand the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There are a lot of people in false churches that are lost or going to hell. But there are some people in false churches that aren't lost and aren't going to hell. The Holy Spirit of God works in false churches. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Listen, it's an individual thing. Oh, He doesn't indwell those false churches. No. But He works in the hearts of men and women, no matter where they are. If the Holy Spirit of God, the convicting spirit of the God's Paracletos, the one likened to Christ, sent back to this earth, the Holy Spirit's convicting, and that person wants to be saved, and they realize they're sinful and they need a Savior, God's going to save them no matter where they are, if they come to Him, because salvation is not in the church. It's between the individual and the living Spirit of Almighty God. Unfortunately, after people do get saved, many of them are led into false doctrine and teaching, and they stay in it. But they're never happy, are they, Teresa? Never happy. Never happy. Always looking for something. What they're looking for is the awareness that God loves them more than they ever realized, and that He died for them so He could set them free. 1 John 3:6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. I know Him. And I know that there's no sin I can ever commit that would separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. God will never impute any sin to me that would remove me from Christ or Christ from me. God imputes only righteousness to me because Christ, the only righteous man who ever lived, lives in me and I in him. Any act of righteousness that comes out of my life is performed by Christ. I am only righteous in God's eyes because he sees his righteous son in me. You said, that's hard to believe. That's grace. That's amazing grace. And that's why it's so amazing. Romans 4, 4 through 8. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I stand before you an ungodly man, justified by faith in Christ, and the belief that he alone is righteous, and he has imputed, counted to me, his righteousness. And when God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of his son. He does not see the sins of my flesh as ever being able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ. He punishes me for my sins in the flesh if I do not confess them. But if we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's absolutely amazing. I'm standing up here preaching this, and this is absolutely amazing. I know it's the truth. I'm positive it's the truth. There's no question in my mind about it. And still I stand in awe at this. How could anybody love somebody like me who's a sinner and who still sins, and yet he does not impute sin to me that would separate me from him like the first sin that Adam committed? I deserve none of this, nor do you. But it's by God's grace. And if I can't serve this God, who would I ever be willing to serve? 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Okay, now, I'm just going to go out and do some real righteous things. I'm lost, headed for hell, but I'm going to go out and do some real righteous things. Okay, does that make me righteous? No. Let no man deceive you. And this is what people do in these false religions. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. That's what makes a man righteous. He goes out and does righteous stuff. No. Even as he is righteous. It's the only reason I'm righteous. He's in me. He lives in me. He's alive. He's the seed from which I was born again, by an incorruptible seed. I have no other righteousness other than the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. Any acts that I perform that God puts a stamp on and says, that's a righteous act, who do you think led me to do it? Who do you think charged me to do it? Who do you think gets the credit, the recognition, the attention, the praise? God and his son, Jesus Christ. That's why you ought to serve him in church. You shouldn't do it for recognition, attention, and praise. You ought to just do it out of pure, unmerited thanksgiving to God for what he's done for you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's easy to serve if you ever get a hold of how much he's done for you. I'm righteous only because he, Christ, is righteous. And I'm only capable of performing righteous acts by he who lives in me. I have been set free from the great condemnation of God for sin because Christ took all of my sins in his body on the cross. Not just a few, but all of them that would ever separate me from the love of God that's in Christ. Those who are still trying to work off their sin debt by what they consider righteous acts on their part are still under the bondage of sin and are the devil's children because they have not come to Christ as their only hope of forgiveness by grace for all their sins, past, present, and future. Christ has destroyed the works of the devil. But they are still sinners before God because they will not come to his son for full and complete atonement for all sins. You have to come to Jesus. Nobody else, nothing else. Add nothing to him. Take nothing away from him. Come to him. He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one who paid the full price. He's the only one who kept the law. He's the only righteous man who ever lived. And he died so he could give all that to you. and set you free from the condemnation of God that's in sin. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, please look at this. Please look at this. Why did the Son of God come? Why was he manifested? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Once you come to Christ, he doesn't consider you a sinner separated from God. He has reconciled you to God. And if a person then believes he keeps on committing sins that would separate him from the love of God, he is still under the bondage of sin. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. The Son of Man came that he might destroy the works of the devil. He kept the law, every jot and tittle of it. And he did it all for me. God does not consider me as a man who commits sin that would send him to hell, because I've been set free in Christ Jesus. And his seed abides in me, and I abide in him, and he will not come out of me, nor will I come out of him. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, not in God's eyes, not sin that would separate him from the love of God that's in Christ. For his seed remaineth in him. Here's why. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. These things have I spoken unto you, he said to the church, that you might, in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's done it. He's overcome the world. He's done it. Do you know what your problem was and mine was when we were born? We were born as children of the world. We were overwhelmed, overcome by the world, because we were a part of it, born into it, corrupt, without God. But Jesus has overcome the world. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know why I'm an overcomer? Because I'm in the overcomer. Do you know why I'm an overcomer? Because the overcomer is in me. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven. It's because of what this man did. Sure, I worship him. Sure, I try to do good. Sure, I try to do right. But God forbid that I should ever tell you that I can either add to or take away from anything that Jesus ever did. This morning, if you want to be saved, the only one separating you from being saved is Jesus. It's you. It's you. If you want to be saved this morning, then I hope right where you're sitting, when this prayer is offered, a silent prayer, your prayer to God, asking him to save you, I hope you'll realize that he died so that he could answer that prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent him. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you did it. Did it all. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us of the grace of God that's in Christ. These things I ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. As the song leader comes, as the pianist comes, I've shown you God's word. The rest is up to you. God does the saving, but you do the coming. Are you burdened? Is there a fear of hell in your heart? Is there an uncertainty of your relationship with God? All relationships to God have to be directed totally through Christ. If you're not at rest with God, maybe it's because you never came to God through Christ. This morning, if God's dealing with you for any reason, I hope you'll come. What number?